Well, over Advent, we're going to do some Adventy things, as usual. And we're going to look at different characters from the Christmas story. So we're going to start with the angels on Christmas, and the shepherds and the wise men, Mary and Joseph. So that's going to be happening over Advent. But today, I'm just going to, and next week as well, just share with you some more things that I felt the Lord speaking to me while I was away on sabbatical, and just share those things with you. And this one, actually, maybe I should have started with this, but I didn't, but I'm going to start with this. And this one is all about Jesus. So I will tell you the story. I had two experiences that really kind of were bookends to my sabbatical time. And the first one was when I went away with Kairos Ensemble. We did some gigs up at Keswick Convention. Has anyone ever been to the Keswick Convention? You been? Yeah? Have you been as well? Keswick Convention. It's been going for a long, long time. I don't know, probably 100 years or something. And it's a week or more than a week now where they just have Bible teaching up in Keswick, which is a beautiful part of the country. And it's got to the point where they have this building, which then they strap a marquee onto. When I say a marquee, it's kind of like a tent, you know, like a circus tent size thing. It seats thousands of people onto the back of this building, and it's just an integral part of the town. It's become such a thing. Anyway, we were up there playing, and we did the Passion Suite. If you've been to see the Passion Suite, the Easter Story music there, we did that. But in amongst that, obviously, we get to hear other people speak because they're there doing their thing at the conference. And there's a guy called Krish Kandaya. Anyone heard of Krish Kandaya? Yeah, because we talked about him because I found that book at St. Paul's. I forgot his name, and then I was wanting to remember his name, and then I met Daniel at St. Paul's, and you picked up his book at St. Paul's, and I said, ah, yes, that's the guy who spoke at Keswick. So it was like, and this was the week after sabbatical when I met up with Daniel, so it was helpful. And anyway, he said something in his little chat. He was just being interviewed, and he said something that really stuck with me. And he said people in his church, I think it was, or in his organizations, because he's been involved with various different organizations, Christian organizations, they sort of say, oh, we don't know how to do evangelism. Please, we need a training course in how to do evangelism. We struggle to tell people about Jesus. And his answer is, well, just get to know Jesus better. And what he meant by it, and he went to clarify that, he said, have you ever met somebody who's just really into a thing? Like their phone, for instance, you know, not looking at anybody in particular, Josh and Dan. But, you know, they're so into their bit of tech, you know, and they can tell you what it can do. They can tell you about the app for this and the app for that. And they can tell you how much time it saves or wastes during the day. They can tell you how it tracks their sleep, you know, while they're asleep. You can work out how many deep sleep you've had and whatever. It entertains you, it keeps you in contact with the world around you. And you know, these people, they talk about their phone and, oh yeah, and I can get my map directions and my journey times, and I can even do, in fact, I did this week, you know, Apple Pay. I pay for my stuff using the phone now. It's there, and people who are really into their thing, they can talk to you about it. Yeah, have you met someone like that? If you're into riding a bike, this happened to me in Woking today. Last week, I went to this place, the Lighthouse, as I was saying. I was just unhooking my bike from outside Christchurch, which is where I parked it. And this guy stopped me and said, is that back wheel smaller than the front wheel? I went, and goodness me, I was then, 10 minutes later, this guy was just talking about bikes, and I was need to get going. I'm into bikes, but not as much as you. And he was just, he'd noticed that my saddle was different. You know, there are people when they're into their thing, whether it's a phone or bikes, or tubers, or trains, or I'm looking around the room now, maybe gardening. you know, no, not gardening. You know, they get talking about it. And he said, this guy said, you know, here's the thing. For instance, if you're into tech, he said, Apple and Samsung, they don't send people like you and me on training courses on how to sell their product. They don't sort of book you in and say, right, we're going to teach you about, you know, give you a 10-week course on how to use an iPhone and how to sell it to other people. All they do is they produce a great product that hooks you in, people use the product, and then they sell it because they get so into it, they can't help but talk about it. And, I mean, that happened to me, actually, with tech. When we went to Hong Kong with my mum and dad, we took our iPad, and we wanted to navigate around Hong Kong. You look on the iPad, and you get the tube map up, or the metro map as it is there, and mum and dad were like, this is amazing. You know where to go in Hong Kong, and you've never been there. And, like, my dad was trying to navigate using trams, and it was just a lot quicker 60 years later to go on modern transport. So they were just, and as a result, they bought an iPad as soon as we got home from Hong Kong. Whether they can use it or not is another matter. Because this happens, doesn't it? When you get into a thing, it sells itself. And so he said, it's the same with Jesus. We've got a great product. I don't want to just call Jesus a product, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. We have a great product to sell. There's so much to talk to him, talk about him, and tell others about him. All we have to do, get to know him better. Not a training course, but just simply spend more time with him, listening, watching, experiencing, tasting, receiving, and then we'll just start talking about it. This will happen. You know, selling a product is quite hard when we don't know what we're selling. I don't know if you've ever watched The Apprentice. You know, I'm not known for watching trashy TV with my wife, but I gave that away on Friday night. Sometimes we watch The Apprentice, but if you watch them when they're trying, the poor contestants who are trying to sell something that they don't know anything about. You know, it would be like me trying to sell a train set, Keith. You know, and I'll be, well, I think it's got four wheels. Oh, no. And then it's got six wheels and, you know, and whatever. And, you know, when you're trying to sell something you don't know anything about, then it's impossible to do that, isn't it? Or it's something like it's trying to teach a subject when you don't know the subject. When I was in the Philippines, I had to teach physics. I do know a little bit about physics, but it was a long time ago when I did it, and I was really struggling. And that's something I vaguely know something about. You know, try teaching, if it was Spanish, I'd have been clueless, you know? But when we know our thing, when we know it internally. If you ask me to teach you about the tuba, I don't have to stop and think, what should I say now? It's here, it's in me. If you ask me, hopefully, to teach you a little bit about the Bible, some of it's in here. But there's an interesting thing, isn't it? I said something about the Bible. But here, his challenge was, get to know Jesus. And you'll just start talking about it. So the call was to me, and it was a challenge to me, get to know Jesus better, because he is the greatest and best thing, and he's waiting for us to know him, and so it's pretty straightforward. Get to know Jesus better. So that stuck with me. That was the beginning of my sabbatical, probably I think the first week while I was off, actually. I like it. That's all right. It's quite groovy. And then towards the end of our sabbatical, we were at Guildford Baptist Church, I think the second last week. And I think I've mentioned this, Michael Card was speaking, who is a singer, songwriter, musician, theologian kind of guy. So my kind of guy. I like this kind of combination. And his message, funny enough, was get to know Jesus better. And he just did I won't go into it now, did an amazing overview of the four Gospels and how we how we can bridge the gap of 2,000 years in getting to know Jesus better from now to then. And if you want to go on the Guildford Baptist Church website, check it out. It's a great message to listen to. But he made an interesting point, and I think this challenged me as well. He said a lot of our evangelical Christianity, so a lot of our tradition of church, we know our faith primarily through the writings of Paul. So people in our type of church will be able to tell you what sanctification means through the writings of Paul and what justification means and all these long words, which are very theological. And we have a very technical understanding of that because Paul's writings explain these things and what Jesus has done on the cross. And he says there's nothing wrong with that. We're not going to throw that out. That is scripture, and so we don't throw that out. But how well do we know the gospel? And how well do we know Jesus and what he, how he is, who he is, and how he does things? And actually, we should start with that, and then Paul's, sometimes we scratch our head about Paul, but actually if we knew Jesus better, I think he was saying, then we'd understand Paul easier, because that's what Paul was doing. He was just knowing Jesus and making sense of it for the people around him. So that was the two ends of my sabbatical that really stuck with me. The whole thing was just like, get to know Jesus better. Get to know Jesus better. Now you may think, well, that's obvious. You're a Christian and you're a pastor and that's what we do. But like I've already pointed out, in my own language, I talk about the Bible. Or I talk about theology. Or I talk about doctrine. And all of these things are good things, but sometimes we miss just the person of Jesus because we talk about these things as things. So, where do we go with this? Knowing Jesus. I don't think that's a one-off event, by the way. I don't think it's just like we do it in 1 week. I know Jesus now. You know, I wouldn't sort of say, oh, I met Graham once, but now I know him. I mean, I would have met him, but even, you know, I've known Graham for 5-6 years now, but I've still loads of stuff I don't know about him, and vice versa. But that's just because it's an ongoing thing. That's the good thing about a relationship. You get to know someone. And similarly, we wouldn't get to know Jesus in a 10-week course, because like we've talked about an alpha course or whatever, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. It's a lifetime's activity. But he has shown himself to us, and he can be known. I'll read that verse. I read it communion again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is there to be known, and the challenge is get to know him better. See, the thing is, I think the world around us, and maybe we do this as well, there's lots of things that we maybe, without realizing, slip into thinking that this is what Christianity or Jesus is. We think maybe that he is a concept, or Christianity is a concept, an abstract set of ideas, or something that doesn't have any real substance or body. But actually, no, Jesus is a person in whom we know the fullness of God. We think maybe that our faith is some kind of ideology, a system of ideals, or ethics, or values. Yes, but also primarily, he's a person, yeah, whom we can know God through. Sometimes even we think of God as a thing. I mean, people in the world would think of God as a thing, like a power. Some people talk about it, don't they? You listen to some people and they will say God is a sort of a higher power, I think is the word that is commonly used in places like AA and NA, with no clear boundaries or identity, and we can't really properly connect with a thing, can we, or a power. I don't know, I mean, electricity is a power, right? I mean, it's a day of phone calls, isn't it? You know, I could connect with electricity, but it would kill me, and I suppose you could see God like that, but actually, Jesus shows us that God is a person. I think sometimes we can idea, you know, I meet and I listen to some people who, for them, faith is just simply, almost exclusively, doctrine. A doctrine or a set of rules or a set of truths or beliefs that we hold on to about God. And I think some people hold on to their doctrine more than they hold on to Jesus, you know. For instance, you know, I mean, we've just had this recently as a church, haven't we? You know, it's like the doctrine of whether women should be in leadership or not supersedes the person of Jesus for some people. And Jesus is bigger than that. He's a person. He's a person. Some people think Christianity may be a set of rules, a list of things, of what is right, what is wrong. That's a lot of people see Christianity, don't they? You have to be right, or you have to be doing good. But actually, no, first and foremost, Jesus is a person. So, if we think of that, Jesus is a person, God in flesh and blood, The call is get to know Jesus better. The fullness of God can be known. And as we get to know Jesus, it will change us for the better. Knowing Jesus will shape how we think for the better. It will shape how we spend our time for the better. It will shape how we respond to people around us for the better. It will change how we speak to one another for the better. Knowing Jesus. And as we get to know him, it will change all those other things that maybe are true, that yeah, that theology is important, doctrine is important, okay? I'm not saying those things are thrown out, or our ideology, our ethics are all important, but it is when we understand Jesus first, those things will be changed as we understand him. And too often, though, we do it the other way around. I heard Steve Chalk saying this many years ago, and he used lots of long words in saying it, but what he was basically saying is what we do is we say, this is how the church is, so that's how Jesus must be, and that's how we will act. But, and it's kind of got it the wrong way around, thinking, well, I think I know what Jesus is like, so I'll just, based on this is... But actually we should say, I know Jesus, now this should change how I practice. Now I practice my life and practice my beliefs. Now I know Jesus, this is how the church should be. Getting to know Jesus first. And sometimes, I think what we do, it's like we say to Jesus, follow us. We're a church. We've been around for 100 years. We know what we're doing. Follow us. I think sometimes that's how churches put on initiatives. We're going to do this, and then now let's pray about it. Follow us, Jesus. And actually, we'll probably make you into what we need you to be and what you need to be for us. But actually, if you think about what Jesus, James, who was it, the first disciples of Paul? Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew. What did he say to them? Follow me. There wasn't a lot of negotiation in that. They didn't sort of say, well, hang on a second, if you follow me down the road this bit, then I'll come a little bit with you. You know, we'll do a deal here. I'll follow you a little bit, you follow me a little bit. I've got some ideas too. You know, maybe we could start a business, a fishing business. We could do a bit of fishing men and a bit of fishing for fish, and there we could come to some kind of compromise. No, it didn't really work like that. Jesus said, follow me. They put down their nets and they followed him. And he said, follow me and you'll be, and I'll make you fishers of men. Didn't you? Follow me. Come with me. Was that a suggestion? Was it an invitation or was it a command? I don't know. Depends how you view these things. But There was definitely, if nothing else, there was an invitation to come with him, to walk with him, to get to know him, and to live in his footsteps. And he says, I'll make you fishers of men. They were already fishermen, weren't they? And he says, I'll make you fishers of men. And I think there's something in that when we walk with Jesus, he will always make us into the best version of who we are supposed to be. I think that's part of what that little play there on fishermen and fishers of men is, that whoever we are, however broken that it is, God has made us to be somebody, and that when we walk with Jesus, we've become that best version of who God intended us to be in the first place. And for the disciples at that case, that they were to be fishers of men, more than just fishermen. So he says, follow me. We could talk more about that fishermen stuff another time, but there was a call to them to walk with Jesus. Come and get to know me. Live as I live. Do as I do. Experience what I experience. Follow my example. Get to know me. I was thinking about this. When I teach music, I mean, if any of you teach, you know, Daniel has taught, others have taught, you know, Emma's taught in the school. When you teach a child, when I teach a child music, they don't come to their first lesson, and then I don't just hand them a book. Sort of like sit back and say, okay, get on with it. You know, that doesn't really, that's not where the parents are paying their money for, you know, because actually if I'm just handing them a book, Bryony could do that, and here's a trombone book to hand to a child, and the trombone student comes and Bryony just hands them the book, say, come back next week and do page one. That's not really teaching, is it? That's not really teaching. Another thing I don't do is I don't just say, okay, here's the technique of how you play a brass instrument. You breathe in, and then you blow a raspberry, which is the sound you have to make, and then you put your mouth on the small end, because sometimes trumpet is a small end and a big end, and then you hold it, and then you blow, and then it works, obviously. I don't just say those things. Only when I get an instrument, demonstrate by putting the thing to my face, breathing in, making that sound, putting it on my face, showing them how to hold it, that it comes to life, because they see, oh, right, that's how it works. Yeah, it needs to happen by demonstration. Come, follow me, let me show you how this works. Some of my most inspiring music lessons, where I've just sat with my teacher, particularly with one teacher who would just come in. I don't think he actually taught me anything in terms of, he didn't tell me any facts or tell me to use this fingering or that. You would just sit and you would just watch him and just kind of go, how is he doing that? And then you'd sit and watch him thinking, okay, I think I can see how he's doing that. I don't think he even knows how he's doing that. But there was something about just watching and being there and follow anything, right, I'm just going to keep doing it in that way. And I did an audition once where actually they said, sounds a bit like Oro. Yes. I don't care whether I get this audition. I sound a bit like my teacher. And I followed in his footsteps. And I've copied his way. And if nothing else, that's an achievement. And if I think also about my Christian life, some of the most spiritual bits of revelation or the profound truths I've learned haven't just been from somebody talking like I am now. But it's actually by looking at people and thinking, okay, I want to do it like him. I want to do it like her. I want to walk this walk like them. Because they're not just talking about it, but they're putting it into practice. They've got to know Jesus, and they live in it in a way that is inspirational, and so I want to follow that. And I think we'd probably all say that we've collected little bits of that from other people along the way, haven't we? Because it's not, we don't find Jesus in all just one person. I mean, there's things I've learned from Keith. But there's things I haven't learned from Keith, but I've learned from somebody else, because Keith hasn't got it all. Neither have I, but there are, okay, I'm going to take a little bit of this, I'll take a little bit of that, I'll take a little bit of this. And that's how we are, because that's a good way of learning. And that's one way of getting to know Jesus better. But my last thing, how do we go about this? This comes back to some of the stuff that Michael Card was talking about, and also Christian Dyer. They were talking about was how do we get to know Jesus better? And I think their challenge was spend time reading the Gospels and reading the accounts of Jesus' life. And so that may be just as simple as taking a parable or a story from Jesus' life or a teaching or an action he did and just meditate on it. With it. Let it permeate into you. For the last month and a half, I think I've already said, I've been just reading very slowly through the Sermon on the Mount. And when you just, even just for the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn, etc., they'll be comforted. And just even taking a Beatitude one day and even sometimes for a few days and just thinking about it. These are Jesus' words. Don't rush away from it. Ponder it. Get to know the person of Jesus. Explore these things he says. Explore the things he does. Try him out. Ask him questions as you pray. You think, okay, how can it be true that people who mourn, this is good for them? How can this be true? And then ask him in prayer. Sometimes it's just like playing with Jesus, playing with the ideas, playing with thoughts about some of the things he said or done, enjoying that. And the more we do that and spend time with others who are like him, the more likely we will start talking about him, just naturally. Oh, Jesus says this, Jesus does that, Jesus has done this in my life. The more we'll start acting like him, the more we'll start seeing like him, the more we'll start thinking like him, and in doing so, we'll become fishers of men in the sense that we'll become the best us that we can be and it's quite likely that we will start affecting people around us. Jesus said, let me give you a saying, Jesus, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. And finally, you're probably thinking, yes, I know, but sometimes I just don't have time to have this time just reading the Bible. A lot of people say that. I've been challenged, actually. I will say that myself as well. Sometimes days are busy and I just don't have time. But I was challenged by the Lord, and he said, when you want to do something, you can do it. So on most Saturdays, I get up at about 6:30 and go for a bike ride. I know 6:30 is not necessarily early for most people, but it is for us. So the Lord sort of challenged me, why can't you get up at 6:30 to come and read some of the Beatitudes a few times in the week? You know, if you can get up at 6:30 to go for a bike ride, why can't you do this? So I was challenged by that. And then I saw an interview with Eugene Peterson. Does everyone know Eugene Peterson? He's the guy who translated the Message Bible. Is anyone over there? I don't think we have. We used to. And he was talking with a guy called Bono. Now, you may know who Eugene Peterson, but Bono Keith is the lead singer for U2, a rock group. Yeah. And you'll love him because he didn't know Eugene Peterson, who had not heard of Bono. It's a lovely interview. And Eugene Peterson, Bono in the interview, before the interview, it sort of says how much the Message translation has changed his life and was really just waxing lyrical about Eugene Peterson, and he really wants to meet Eugene Peterson. So somebody had said to Eugene Peterson, well, you should really hook up with Bono, and he said, who's Bono? You know, and they sort of, they have this dialogue, and so I think there was an invitation, Bono had made an invitation, so Eugene Peterson found out who he was, and Bono gave an invitation to him to get together, and so an interviewer was interviewing Eugene Peterson about this, and he said, when he invited me, I was in the middle of translating the Old Testament, so I was really busy, I had a deadline to get done, and so I just didn't have time to go and see Bono. And so the interviewer said, but it's Bono. I mean, like, if anybody in the world today, if you know anything about anything, like, Bono is just like one of those people where if he said, do you want to come to my house, you're going to go, yeah. I mean, it's like me and Snarky Puppy. This is just, it's a big deal. And so the interviewer was like, but it was Bono. And Eugene Peterson went, yeah, but it was Isaiah. His point being, my time with the scriptures, and he was obviously translating Isaiah at the time, was more important than meeting Bono or whatever. And so we will always struggle with time with family, time with work, time with our hobbies, our house, things that need to be done. But we just need to remember, yes, that's you we're talking about. Get to know him. My challenge, and I'm continually struggling with it because actually, I mean, for instance, the last few days I haven't felt very well, so anyone who doesn't feel very well, I feel a bit sorry. Well, I feel sorry for myself. I can do this, and you think to yourself, well, I can let things slip, and I don't really need to do all the things I need to do. The kids will sort themselves out, and I'm sure Louise will pick up any loose ends. And then you think, well, I don't really need to pray. You know, but this is Jesus. Surely, actually, when you're not feeling very well, this is the best place to be, is sitting at his feet and listening to the one who actually brings healing to us. Yeah? And we'll always have a reason why not. But remember the words of Eugene Peterson. Yes, but it was Isaiah. And in this instance, yes, but it is Jesus. Shall we pray? I'm going to pray from the words of Ephesians. And Colossians as well. Lord Jesus, we are just so grateful that you came and made yourself known to us. You came to make God known to us. We thank you that in you is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We praise you. in you all things were created, all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through you and for you. And so we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes and enlighten our hearts so that we may know you more, know the inheritance you've given us and your power you've given us. We would know your grace and your mercy. We'd know your ways and who you are. That may change us and transform us and make us fishers of men in both senses of ones who reach out to those around us, but also in those in the sense that it makes us the best us that we can be. Lord Jesus, we desire to know you more. Help us, give us your grace to do that. We are weak and need your help. Let us remember, yes, but it is Jesus who